Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. We got Shippy hanging out with us on this fun Friday as we get you prepared for the NFL playoffs going on this weekend. Kevin, obviously, we would love to be in the NFL playoffs, but we aren't there. Not yet. We'll get back there soon, though. We got Stephen Jones coming up in just a few moments, waiting on him to call in, and we'll get in after that, Kevin.
Quick note for you, Mookie Betts just got a record $27 million in arbitration.
Whoa.
How are they going to be able to pay all of that money when they're having to pay for all the cheating that they did? Because we did get word that the Houston Astros are going to receive severe punishment for what they have tried to pull off. Is that not going to cost them financially? And will the Red Sox not be implicated in this as well?
I bet they made a lot of extra cash off of that World Series. So, I mean, what are you going to fine them? $100 million? Worth it.
It's going to hurt them, though, right? Like, $100 million would not hurt them?
No, it would hurt them, but trading, maybe if it's $100 million. But I think they'll probably get fined, like, $10 million. Wouldn't you trade $10 million if you're an owner for a World Series in a heartbeat?
Yep.
Maybe not our owners, but other owners.
Yes, absolutely, I would. Real quickly, Kevin, Mike Leach is now the head coach at Mississippi State.
We broke that on our show yesterday.
Yes, we did. We break news here at 105 through the Fan. He is currently going around the campus with the cheerleaders from Mississippi State and crashing the classes at Mississippi State to inspire everybody to get excited about their upcoming
year.
Seems
like a bad idea.
Right now joining us is Stephen Jones from the Dallas Cowboys. Stephen, how you doing today, man?
Guys, doing well, and hard at it out here, and trying to really help Coach McCarthy put his staff together and, you know, do the logistics for him. And we're really optimistic and fired up about our future.
Now, in terms of those logistics, do you have to walk them around and tell them, like, where's the best vending machine or where the restrooms are? How does that work?
A little bit all of the above. You forget when you get someone who's brand new as your head coach, that you got to start from scratch. You got to show them where everything is. It reminds us a little bit of moving in with Coach Garrett when we moved into the Star 3 years ago or 3.5 years ago. You really had to, you know, really find your way. And he's learning. He's a quick learner, obviously. But, you know, he's not venturing out too far right now. He's so focused on taking advantage of the opportunity to get a fast start on his staff that he really wants to get that in place. And then we'll start to move into the next phase of him learning his way around and that type of thing.
Well, that's great, Stephen. Just make sure that it's because he's focused and not because he's afraid to ask where something is. Because I've been a new employee before, and sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I should ask this question or not to the boss.
Well, he I don't think that's going to be a problem with him. He's a energetic guy and a lot of confidence, and we've got a lot of people from Todd Williams to Will McClay, myself, Laura's out there, of course, our head coach's assistant, all ready to help him roll.
Have we determined yet what the rest of this coaching staff might look like, Stephen?
We're making a lot of headway. Of course, I'll leave that for Mike to address when the time comes. But I will say that, you know, he's pleasantly surprised and pleasantly ahead of where, you know, he thought he could be at this time. I think he's getting, you know, a lot of people in place quickly. And, you know, obviously he likes to start from the top down. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, wants his coordinators to have a say in things. And I think we're real close to having our coordinators, if not in place. And so obviously then they're a huge help as you build the staff, you know, from offense, defense, and special teams of what their staffs beneath them look like. So, you know, it's really been a good orderly process. He's got a good thoughtful way about how he's going about how he wants to put his staff together. And of course, Jerry and I are very, very supportive of that and just want to help in any way we can.
Do you think that for two separate reasons here, one, the ability to get that staff moving quickly is because of the deep roots that he has in the NFL already, and also does that help with what you guys trust him in making those decisions?
No question. I mean, I think anytime you've been around the league as long as he has, I think said he got his first quality control job in his late 20s. I think he was 28 to be exact. But, you know, obviously been in this league a long time. And as we found out over time, we've been in it, you know, for 30 years ourselves. And, you know, it's very helpful to know the ropes, to have met, you know, a plethora of fine people over the years, great coaches, being around great players who've become coaches. It's just good to know the ropes, and certainly that's showing with him. Certainly the other thing that shows with him is the respect he has around the league and how people are really, you know, working hard to be on his staff. So he's got a lot of good choices, and I know he's working closely with you know, his future coordinators on who's going to make the best staff, who's going to make, you know, what's going to be the best makeup for this particular staff.
Talking with Stephen Jones right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, you just mentioned that yourself and Jerry will do whatever you can to help Coach McCarthy along the way. I'm curious, do you ever get frustrated by the narrative that y'all or perhaps Jerry in particular are accused by people of meddling? Is that a narrative that frustrates you?
It doesn't, because we know what happens. And, of course, we've been around for a long time and, you know, have that confidence that we know what's going on, and that's really, at the end of the day, all that matters. I mean, you know, no one, as y'all well know, no one has thicker skin than Jerry, and I'd like to hope that I do, but you know, we understand what's going on, and understand, you know, that there's a lot of false perceptions out there that, you know, no matter what you say, they're going to continue to persist. And, you know, the people we work with, whether it was a Bill Parcells, whether it was Jason Garrett, Wade Phillips, and now Mike McCarthy, they know what we're about. And they know all we care about is, you know, giving them resources, give them the support that it takes to put the right things in place and roll from there. Now, you know, every now and then do you say, hey, Jason, I think it's in your best interest to maybe give up play calling. There's a lot going on with being a head coach this day and time between clock management, managing the game, calling the plays. It's a lot. Now, some coaches get away with it, but, you know, we'll have those type of discussions. But in general, we, you know, always tried to support our head coaches and, you know, who they want and what they do. Now, you know, once we invest in players, and we want to obviously find guys that, you know, give those players, you know, the best chance to have success. But most coaches believe that anyway. They look at your roster, and, you know, we've had long discussions, you know, starting the day walked in the door with, you know, you don't want to be pigeonholed as a certain type of guy, because the key is, if you got great players on your team, you want to give them every opportunity to be great. And Mike's at the front of the line believing that. So he wants to give, you know, all our players that, you know, have had success in their career every opportunity to continue to have success. And you heard him in the press conference, starts with that. He wants our quarterback to be wildly successful. And I know, you know, he believes that about that.
Now, I know you guys want to focus on the present and the future. I was, with that in mind, I was curious, though, was there a moment, whether it was interviewing with Mike McCarthy or any other moment along the way, that you can tell our fan base about where you knew that Jason Garrett, or the organization knew that Jason Garrett was not going to be the coach of this team anymore?
Yeah, we had open conversations with Jason, and he knew that we were obviously looking you know, probably to make a change. And but at the same time, you know, he wasn't in any hurry, and that was his preference, not for us not to be in any hurry, you know, to make an announcement or move forward. And we really didn't feel the urgency, as long as he understood, and we didn't want to hide anything, that we were going to be contacting coaches, not just the two we interviewed, but others, about what their thoughts were on this job, and you know, what they would be thinking about it as we decided who we were going to bring in, you know, to have official interviews. And as Jerry and I discussed, and, you know, we discussed with other people in our organization, we really felt like it was in our best interest to find a head coach that had had, you know, deep NFL coaching experience, had success as a head coach, going to the playoff, winning in the playoffs. And that's why we started, of course, with Marvin and Mike is, you know, they had had success in this league, been to playoffs, and, you know, in Mike's case, had a lot of success in the playoffs. And, you know, we wanted to start with that. And then, you know, we certainly had a path that if we weren't totally at peace at that point, then we could move into, you know, maybe make an exception, whether it's a college head coach or whether it's, you know, a coordinator that's on the, you know, up and coming or whatever that may entail. There were other options we looked at, but we wanted to start with that. And then, of course, when Mike came in there, you know, as the day went, it just became obvious that he was the right guy and the right fit for us.
Since you mentioned Marvin Lewis, this is not your issue to solve or the Cowboys' issue to solve, but obviously you guys carry a lot of clout in this league. What do you think that, how do you think that the NFL is doing, or is there anything that the NFL needs to do to kind of, I guess, encourage or energize the minority coaching base out there? Because there's been a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, I think you can always be better. You know, I had a, you know, the experience with Marvin on the competition committee to where I'd really gotten to know him, and albeit, you know, he didn't get over the hump of winning regularly in the playoffs. You know, he was a great coach for the Browns and Cincinnati, and I've had nothing but total respect for the way he looked at the game on the competition committee. And I really wanted Jerry to get to know him even better. I thought he could be a good fit here in Dallas, but I think the league continues to look for ways to improve. Obviously, you know, the more minorities you can get in, you know, in the coordinating positions, that's important. I know Leon Lett and Gary Brown are going out, I think it's the East-West game, and they're going to coordinate a game out there. They're trying to give, you know, those guys experience. And, you know, in particular, you know, for whatever reason, we're on a run where offensive guys seem to be, you know, the thing now in terms of hiring offensive coordinators, and we don't have, you know, good depth there as far as being diverse with our offensive coordinators. And I know that's something, you know, that our football people at the league level, at every level, are looking at as to how we improve in that area. But we all want to continue to strive to be better in that area, and certainly we're supportive of that.
Now, I know, Stephen, that that during the press conference, I really enjoyed the way that Jerry, you know, showed all the credentials of what Mike McCarthy is. And I'm wondering, because I know how much it impacted y'all's decision, because that was something you were looking for, but how much does a resume impress players? And do you think that that matters to them, the past, the things that they've done?
Oh, I do. I think skins on the wall are huge. You know, when you've got a guy in front of you who's coached teams to Super Bowls, three championship game appearances, you know, those things are impressive. We all know how hard it is to win in this league. Dallas Cowboys in particular, we haven't gotten, you know, in 20-plus years to a championship game. We obviously have been to a Super Bowl. But, you know, those things are impressive. We're very impressive to Jerry and myself, and it's got to be impressive to, you know, to our players that they do know the path. And, you know, sometimes it's not always the coaches. You know, it's not all on the coach, and we understand that. We'll be the first to take, you know, our share of the criticism for our lack of appearances in big games. And, you know, we'll wear part of that. We'll wear part of that. I know obviously the coach is going to, players, you know, you got to be able to take the next step to get there. Organizationally, we got to do it. But I think whenever you bring someone through the doors that have been there and done that, I know everybody, you know, had that feel when Bill Parcells came through the door. He had won Super Bowls. He had coached in big games. He was obviously, you know, a bigger than life type of personality.
And, yes, he was.
You know, we learned a lot from him. And I think the players respected him. We didn't get it done. But, you know, that's one thing Jerry always points out. Just because you get a guy like that doesn't mean it's going to happen. But Bill gave us opportunities. And, you know, you have a few things bounce our way, and maybe things would have been different there with Coach Parcells as well. But I think anytime you're able to, whether you're a head coach, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a great player, if you're wearing a Super Bowl ring, I think it brings a lot of respect. And, you know, you look at a guy like Troy Aikman, you know, who led us to three Super Bowls. I think it just, you know, brings another level of respect. And certainly that's what Troy has. And, you know, that's something that's hard to do. There's been a lot of great quarterbacks, unfortunately, that don't get there. And some may only get there once. But it's a hard feat. You know, this day and time, there's a salary cap. Everybody has, and pretty much everybody spends to it. Everybody, you know, 32 teams do well in this league, and they have very good coaching staffs, and they have great scouting staffs, and they have great facilities. So, you know, the playing field's level, and that makes it hard.
We got Stephen Jones joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Now, the next phase, and I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but when it comes to the personnel and the player personnel, McCarthy talked about that this morning, and he wants to know what a Cowboys player is going to look like and what their design of that's going to be, and that's going to come with some of the coaching and everything. But are those discussions with McClay and what McCarthy wants in a player to implement those kinds of guys with the draft and free agency, are those being – is that the next phase of things?
Yes, and, you know, as we as we're doing these things, we're sitting in the room, Will, myself, Mike, Jerry, you know, our staff, and we're already starting to talk about that. And it's refreshing. I mean, everybody has different views of things, but you know, obviously Mike and his staff are going to have influence on Will and Jerry and myself in terms of the type of player that we're open to drafting, and you know, and the type of player we're open to bringing in here. And you know, it's our job to understand you know, what type of offense Mike's going to run, what type of defense he wants, and you know, what type of player we want on special teams. And hopefully a lot of our great players are going to fit, and I think they will, they're going to fit in there. And then you know, hopefully we can, you know, continue to improve this team and draft and bring in some free agents that you know, improve upon what we are and give us the best opportunity to go out there and play in these big games.
And maybe take a look at some other defensive tackles too, right? Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that we've discussed over the years, and we'll continue to let that evolve. You know, I think the word here is not just change things out. We just want to continue to evolve and do evolve and do what it takes to ultimately get this team in a position that it's going to compete to win a championship.
Were you aware during the press conference yesterday that your mic was hot at some point and your laugh has... Okay, so you know. You know about this, right?
I've been told. I've got thick skin, too, so I can take it. But I've had some people give me hell about my laugh. So they said, you laugh about everything. So I guess I did, and I'm guilty as charged. You had me hot on a mic.
Here's a good comeback. The next time that comes up, when they say you laugh at everything, just stare right at them and be like, except for when you're around.
That's great.
Well, we appreciate your time, Stephen. Thank you so much for all the time you gave us this season, and we look forward to things as we go along here, getting to the draft, getting everything going along, man.
Well, we're fired up, obviously. You know, change is difficult, but at the same time, hope springs eternal. And certainly, you know, it's got everybody with a, you know, with a little jump in them, and everybody's ready to go to work and take the next step.
Thank you very much, sir. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
Stephen Jones from the Dallas Cowboys right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Don't do that, Shiffy. Or was that him? Is he still on the line?
Yeah,
was he...
yeah. Wait, Steven? Oh, crap.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.